One of the things that's been happening almost universally with the group since, at least since before we left, I mean we stopped meeting, is financial problems. What am I going to do kind of deals going on almost universally. I want to go to Luke 11. Okay, the first four verses of Luke 11 are the Lord's Prayer. And now in verse 5, and he said unto them, which of you shall have a friend and shall go unto him at midnight and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine is in his journey is come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not. The door is now shut. My children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For every one that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Now, Yom Kippur is the day in which Christ was baptized, and we're about to celebrate Yom Kippur. We've studied before what the life of Christ was like from his birth until he was baptized. And as we've said, it was a life that is exactly as yours is. He has gone through life seeing the vanity of Son of Man, seeing the vanity of the world, seeing the fruitlessness of his own efforts. And he comes to a point at the time appointed of the Father. And he's baptized. And the time appointed to the Father was Yom Kippur. And everything that happened to him and leading to that issue was also of the Father. It probably didn't seem like it all the time. But everything that happened to him was of the Father. Now comes his baptism. It says, well, John the Baptist made me seem like the nicest man on earth. In those days came John the Baptist searching in the wilderness, preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. And the same John had his raiment of camel's hair and a leathern girdle about his loins, and his meat was locusts and wild honey. Then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region round about Jordan. And they were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. And as we've talked about so often, the only time the Jews baptized was on the intervening days between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. They were called the Days of Awe. You remember all the prayers that were spoken? All right. And remember, the feast of Yom Kippur was not a feast that it was required to be in the temple. Jesus was on his way from Galilee to the temple, and when he reached this point on his journey, he came through Perea, was crossing the Jordan, and there was John. He's coming towards Jerusalem, where he must needs celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles, because it's required in the law. And on the way to the Feast of Tabernacles, he's confronted with John the Baptist. And it happened to be on the day, on the feast of Yom Kippur. When he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O sons of the snake, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth, therefore, or instead of what you're doing, fruit necessary for repentance. And think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father, for I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. That's a biggie. And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the tree. Therefore every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with his fire, and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus answering said unto him, Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness, or all appointed times, or all feasts. Then he suffered him, or allowed him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove, and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Now, what does that have to do with what we just read in Luke? If you, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask? The critical issue is, are you ready to be baptized? I'm not going to teach you how to get more money, but I'm going to teach you how to get peace. I'm going to teach you how to possess all things. And that is through the vehicle of the Holy Spirit. Have you come to the end of yourself? Have you fulfilled all righteousness? Have you seen that your only thing that you can do in life is to bring forth fruit necessary for repentance? Or are you still living in the lie that there's something that you must needs do? If it's time, if you have come to the position in your life when you and yours have no more bearing on your life than anything, when the idea of mammon has become sickening, when the idea of leaven has become so totally depraved that you can't stand the taste of it any longer, then something mystical happens. You will be baptized. And in that baptism, the Father has but one choice, one option. He will send you the Holy Spirit. And from that moment forward, your life will be guided and brought to total fruition, not by your thoughts and plans and ambitions, not by your schemes, but by your abandonment of self into the perfect arms of the Holy Spirit, because it's been a thought and a word, and now the deed will take place. Now, most of you have spent your life asking. I need. So you ask. That's all right. Don't be ashamed of it. Ask some more. Then when that isn't answered, then you go to the next step. It's called seeking. And seeking is different from asking. And I could spend 3 years teaching on what the difference is. The next step, though, is you've asked and you saw it and nothing happened. What do you do next? You knock. And it says, because of your importunity, you will receive. Now, the word importunity is a neat word. It's one of its translations in the Greek is because of your shamelessness. Now, most of you know nothing about shamelessness because you've spent your life protecting your ass from shame. But God demands that you come to Him in shamelessness. If the desire in you or the need in you is for something, you first automatically ask. Now seek, then knock, shamelessly. Because it's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. He might be preoccupied with trying to find Rick a job, or he might be really preoccupied in trying to solve Pete's female problems. But if you knock loud enough because of your shamelessness, there is no need that you can be confronted with that will not be met. Now, I want some shamelessness from this group. Most of you are too ashamed to pray. The old-time Pentecostals used to use a word called praying through. We're going to start learning what that means. You pray through to the point where there is either the obvious solution that's tantamount, that's revealed, or there's peace about the condition you're in. And you do not stop until that point is reached. That is praying through. And it doesn't matter if you're in prayer for 24 hours. 48 hours, 72 hours. Now, this is what the Feast of Yom Kippur is about. To provide you with the opportunity to apprehend that for which Christ has done. There's a story that says that when Noah sent out the dove, it didn't return. Because the dove typified the Holy Spirit, and he didn't return until he landed on Jesus. There is no situation that you can be confronted with, whether it's for you or for another person. Some of you have an office in the body that you have denied all these years because your office in the body was to be an intercessor. There is no more important office in the body than intercessory prayer, where you're praying for another, not your own needs. It's not very visible. You don't get a lot of glory from it. And because you have denied that office, the body is suffering. And you know who I'm talking to. It's time that we fully apprehended that for which we have been apprehended by. It's time to possess the inheritance. It's time to use the keys. Amen?
Amen.
I quit. Do you understand? Is there anybody that doesn't understand what I've said?
On this block?
Okay, get out a sheet of paper. There'll be a pop quiz.
How does a chalkboard
and realize that somebody could be made to stay after Bible study.
why are we ashamed to pray? Is it because we're still stuck in the idea that we haven't seen the inheritance? We're still thinking about how screwed up we are or something like that? Or we're just... What's the thing you're thinking about of the shame there? Or is it different in different people?
Well, it's all connected with the...
not thinking you're worthy, or...
No. It's thinking you're too worthy. If you didn't think you're worthy, you'd pray all the time. I'm talking about prayer. I'm not talking about talking. See, prayer is always. Again, I've told you so often, I get sick of it. Prayer, you pray all the time. You're just praying the wrong God. Most of the time you're praying to Baal. You don't want to pray to Baal anymore. It's not smart, because now you know what it is, and God's going to get really pissed off if you continue to pray to Baal. You got to get that down right now. Okay?
Is that Baal or Baal?
Baal, B-E-L. Chief God of Babylon, the God of cause and effect.
Oh. The first half of Bell's above.
Him.
Oh. They were Bell. Like he kept saying
Bell,
and I thought, you mean
Bell. Bell. They're very close.
You gotta let them hear that tape. You need to hear the tape.
Okay. So, is there a difference?
And you were talking about, you know, pray for 24 hours, 48 hours, 72 hours.
I'm talking about prayer with supplication. The word supplication is a very difficult word to translate, but you've probably forgotten. But I've told you this story about the wolf. When I was a little kid, I learned very quickly what supplication meant when I had that wolf. When the wolf was playing with me, or I was playing with a wolf, better stated, and he got tired of me playing with him, he would grab the back of my neck in his jaws, and if I resisted, which I didn't do, fortunately. There is evidence by the fact that I'm here, that he would have ripped my neck off. If I submitted, that's prayer and supplication. Be careful for nothing. Be careful for nothing. Be careful for nothing. Nothing. Do you understand that? Be careful for no thing. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Moderation means abundant yieldedness, or abundant abandonment, or abundant not being careful. Be careful for nothing. Be careful for nothing. I'm going to repeat that 10,000 times, because you guys are careful for everything. It's making me sick. But by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God that passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds centered in Christ Jesus. Rejoice in the Lord. And again I say rejoice.
Before, where we started reading in Luke, there's the thing about Martha and Mary. When Martha is doing something that Judy and I can both identify with real well, because the Lord is at hand. He's right there in the room, and Martha is running around doing stuff and gets pissed off because her sister Mary isn't helping her. So she goes and she knocks and she says, "Lord, Mary's not helping me." And Christ's response to her is, "Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful."
Don't capture this stuff. This good stuff.
Yeah, I got that feeling again. I haven't had it for about 2 weeks. That train without brakes.
Man. Right, warp speed.
The track's coming together.
You're out there praying. You was a hero.
Take a big guy.